Today, as we celebrate this wonderful feast of the Holy Family, we have to consider what is happening to the family. There is an intentional movement to destroy the family. We have people trying to redefine what the family is. Rather than being a husband and a wife and their children, they're trying to define it in any variety of manners. We see the massive problems of divorce and the problems that that's causing for children. And yet people just want to ignore it like it's not a big deal. The biggest problem, however, is exactly the one that St. Paul addresses in the first reading. What we heard from St. Paul is, in talking about all the virtues, and by the way, if you go back and look at his letter to the Colossians, you will note that this particular passage, he is talking about families. So this isn't just some kind of generic thing that, well, this would be nice to apply to a family. No, he's talking about family life in this passage. So when he talks about having mercy and kindness and humility and meekness and patience and bearing with one another and forgiving one another, he's talking about families. But then he says, above all these, have charity. That's the foundation for family life. It's the foundation for all life, but it's the foundation of family life. And again, this should seem rather obvious, but it's not anymore. I used to ask the couples who wanted to be married why they want to get married, and they'd look at me with this kind of goofy look on their face and tell me because they're in love. And I said, well, that's nice. What does that mean? And, well, it was this gushy feeling we have when we're together. And it's like enough to make you sick. It's like, that's not what love is. But that's the problem, is we don't know what love is. We live in the most selfish society in the history of the world, and selfishness is the opposite of love. And consequently, we do not know what love is. And the tragedy in that is that it's the very purpose of our creation. We're made to love and to be loved, and we don't even know what it is. And now, to make it even worse, the Son of God came into this world to tell us, to teach us, to show us. And we've still rejected all of that. So we need to get to the very foundation of what this is all about. What is married life about? What is family life about? It is about love. But what is love? It's not gush. It's not syrupy nonsense. It's not the warm feeling we have when we're together. Because I haven't talked to very many married couples who tell me that that warm feeling is there every day. In fact, it's maybe there two or three times a year after a couple of years. That's not what love is about. So what is it? Love is a virtue. Love seeks only the good of the other. That's why I said a minute ago, it's the opposite of selfishness. And our kids these days are being taught to be narcissists. In fact, ask the psychologists and they will tell you point blank, we do have an epidemic right now. It is narcissism. They have never seen anything like this. An absolute epidemic of narcissism. That's what our kids are being schooled in. It's what they're being formed in. And it is absolutely destructive. It is destructive to them. It's going to be destructive to their marriages. It's going to be destructive to their own children. Because we will never be fulfilled. We aren't doing what we were created to do. And if you look at a marriage, we're not doing what we make a vow to do. On the day that they get married, a couple makes a vow to love one another. Not to be selfish toward one another, not to use one another, to love one another. Again, as we've already mentioned, that doesn't mean that we're going to have gushy feelings toward one another every day for the rest of our lives. It means we're going to seek to serve one another. It means we're going to seek to build one another up. It means that we're going to seek deeper and deeper union with God and with one another every day for the rest of our lives. That's what it's all about. And that's the example that kids need. They need to not only know that they are loved, but they need to see what that love looks like. There are two different ways of loving. There is a masculine way of loving and there is a feminine way of loving. Both are equal, both are good, both are beautiful, and both are very different. And kids need to see both. Kids that don't have dads around, whether it's males or females, they are both suffering terribly because they don't know what masculine love is. They don't know what the love of their father is. And that's causing them lots and lots of trouble. So we need to be able to get back to the foundation. And that foundation is simply love. Now, in a lot of families, we've got things upside down and backwards. The kids run the family and not the parents. I have a friend who's a pediatric nurse and tells me regularly about these parents that bring their kids into the hospital. Now, let's say, for instance, the parents bring the kids in because the child has RSV, so it's a respiratory problem. They can't breathe. And so they try to put oxygen on the kid. And the parent says, oh, they don't like that. And then they put an pulse oximeter on and they say, oh no, he doesn't want that on. They try to give the child medicine and the parent says, they don't want it. It's like, why did you bring your kid to the hospital? The child needs help and you don't want the child to get help because the child doesn't like it. What are we doing? We're letting two-year-olds be in charge of the family. We're letting them control everything. That's not the way it's supposed to be, but it's a false sense of love. Oh, I have to give my kid whatever he wants because I love him so much. No, if you love your kid so much, you're going to tell him no sometimes. Remember back in 2016 when Trump was elected? They had to bring in psychologists into the colleges. They set up rooms for screaming, and they brought in Play-Doh, and they brought in stuffed animals, because this was the first time in the life of these kids that they didn't get what they wanted, and they didn't know how to handle it. Never once had they been told no. Never once had they not gotten what they wanted. And they didn't know how to handle it. Some of these kids were 22 years old, and it's the first time that they didn't get what they wanted because their parents loved them so much. No, they don't. Their parents love themselves so much. That's the problem. If you really love your kids, you need to discipline them. If you really love your kids, you need to expect some responsibility of them. If you really love your kids, you are going to teach them so that they will be able to go out and be responsible adults one day. Not coddle them, put them in front of video games and feed them junk food and say, I love my kids so much. That's not love. In fact, if you really look at it, even the stupid video games, the girls don't have much trouble with that. The boys are addicted to it. And they've actually done studies that are demonstrating that it changes the brain of a boy. So this is going to mess him up for life because his brain isn't developing normally. Because we love him so much that we let him sit in front of the stupid thing for hours and hours and hours. That's not love. Granted, your kids aren't going to like hearing no. But St. Paul talks about this in his letter to the Hebrews. And he says, discipline at the time that it is meted out is not a cause for joy. But in time, we will see the goodness that comes from it. And so all of us can look back in our own lives and, yeah, our parents told us no and we didn't like it. When we were teenage kids, we might have even said, you're the worst mom that ever lived and I hate you and all the other stupid things that came out of our mouths. And then we get a little older and maybe even have a little bit of wisdom. And then we come back and we say, thank you. Thank you that you didn't give in to all of my little whims. Thank you that you didn't waffle when I called you names and when I told you how horrible you are. Thank you that you stood firm because I had to learn. Now, if your kids are like me, and that means they have really, really, really thick skulls, which means there's not much room for a brain in there, then it takes a lot to be able to get through. And that's not easy for parents. But remember that God is asking you to raise saints. And he's asking you to be a saint. And what's a saint? A saint is a person who's godlike, a person who's holy. And so what that means is that the very center of a family must be prayer. Each of the parents needs to have their own prayer life. You also need to pray together as a couple, and you need to pray together as a family. That's what's going to provide the foundation. Isn't that again what St. Paul talks about? He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly in all wisdom, teach and admonish one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Whatever you do in work or in word, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything is focused spiritually. Because if that's the case, then we're only going to seek what is right and what is good, what is truly best for the other. So that's what we have to be able to look at. For parents, again, we have to recognize the selfishness isn't just about our kids, because most of us were raised in a very, very selfish society. So it's affected all of us. And so to be able to look at that and say, where is my selfishness causing trouble here? It's always easy to look at everybody else because I'm not getting what I want, so you're the problem. It's like, if it's me wanting what I want, maybe I'm the problem. And where is my selfishness causing trouble? Where am I being selfish toward my spouse? Where am I failing to serve my spouse? Where am I being selfish toward my kids? Where am I allowing them to be selfish? Again, you have to remember, we come into this world as the most selfish little creatures on the face of the earth, and we need to do that in order to survive. But the whole goal of the Christian life is to overcome the selfishness and become selfless, to become Christ-like, to be filled with charity. That's what married life is about. That's what family life is about. That's what we need to be striving for. So if we're going to get family life right, and it is absolutely essential, because remember, the family is the foundation for the church and for society. So as the family goes, so goes the world. And as the family goes, so goes the church. Look at what is happening in the world and in the church, because the family is being destroyed. Satan has unleashed his most despicable attack in history because it is against the family. And so we need to come to the aid of the family. So first and foremost, yes, it's the family. Understand, however, and this is a message for the husbands, Satan is going after your wife, and he is going after your daughters, because the woman is the foundation. She is the heart, and she is the foundation of the marriage and of the family. And we all know, just think of your house. If the foundation is broken, what good's it going to do to put new shingles on the roof? The house is going to crash if the foundation's broken. So you need to make sure that you're shoring that up, that you're doing everything in your power to build up your wife, to help her to know her dignity, to help her to recognize how much she is loved because you love her. But we need to go back to that point of the dignity, be able to respect that dignity and be able to build one another up. It's so easy to put one another down because we're so different as males and females, and so we think one another are so foolish and stupid and whatever. How about recognizing the goodness of those differences? How about rejoicing in those differences rather than whining and complaining about them all the time? Rather than rolling the eyeballs and sighing, where's the charity? Where's the patience? Where's the forgiveness? All the things that St. Paul talked about. So we have to recognize it needs to start with our own self. To be able to look at what it is for a married couple that is vowed to love and to do that. To truly seek the good of the other. To serve the other. That's what that's all about. Serving the other. Isn't that exactly what Jesus told us that he was about? I came into this world, he said, not to be served, but to serve, and to give my life as a ransom for the many. That is exactly what a parent is to do. It is to serve and give your life for your spouse, for your children. And so if married life is going to be what it's supposed to be, God must be first. You're made in his image and likeness. Your children are made in his image and likeness. And so we have to put him first. And so that means that we have to have that prayer. And we have to be seeking to do his will. One of the major problems that I have seen and frustrates me to no end is the attitude of many Catholics that we can just make up our own faith. If the church happens to agree with me, well, imagine that, the church was right. But if I don't agree with the church, it's about time the church gets into the 21st century. No, we need to conform ourselves to the truth. We aren't the truth. We need to conform ourselves to the truth. And so we need to be able to look at that, because our society has destroyed marriage, and for some reason we keep thinking that if we keep doing the same thing, that maybe our marriage will be better. Maybe if we do it God's way, our marriage will be better, because he's the one who created it. And so we need to look at that and reject the lies of society. So that means rejecting the selfishness. It means rejecting using one another. It means rejecting any of the selfishness that is in the relationship, in any aspect of that relationship. And it means living a truly holy marriage. That's not what our society is upholding. Remember back in the year 2000, they asked the question of women, what is the greatest invention for women? The Vatican asked that question in the 20th century. And the answer that they gave was the washing machine. And the secular press went berserk. Contraceptives are the greatest invention for women. It's the worst thing that's happened to a woman ever since the fall. And yet, that's what Satan is putting forth as the greatest thing for women ever. It's exactly the opposite. We need to reject the lies, because Satan has worked his way right into marriages by telling us these lies. This is what's going to make you happy. This is what's going to fulfill. It doesn't. Love is the only thing that's going to fulfill. Love is the only thing that's going to make you truly happy. And love is not about the self. Love is about the other. Doing the best for the other, serving the other, sacrificing yourself for the other, dying to self and living for the other. Society says that's not going to make you happy. You're only going to be happy if everybody's doing it for you. It's just the opposite. You will find your fulfillment and your joy only when you are serving the others in true charity. So serve God first, your spouse second, and your children third. It has to be in that order, because the love that you have for your children flows from the love you have for your spouse, and the love you have for your spouse flows from the love that you have for God. And so if it's not in the right order, the whole thing's going to get messed up. So put God first at the center of everything, and then put that love for your spouse where it belongs. And flowing from that, then, you will have the greatest love for your children and the most beautiful family. That's what this is all about. That's what the vocation is. It should be the most beautiful, most joyful thing. And if it's done right, it will be. So the world has had its opportunity, and it's proven itself rather clearly. A divorce rate of almost 60%, total destruction of both males and females, and especially of our children. Time to say that the way of the world has failed. The way of Satan, as usual, is a lie, and it doesn't work. Let's go back to the only thing that ever has worked. The very thing that we have from the very beginning, the very first thing that God did, is created us male and female and put us together in a union of marriage and taught us what it's supposed to be. We've rejected God's wisdom, and we've tried the wisdom of the world. It's time now to flip that, because the wisdom of the world doesn't work. Let's do marriage God's way. If we do it that way, then we're going to find what we're seeking, true fulfillment, true joy, and the beauty of what real charity is all about.